This is Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
Welcome, everybody. It's Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle. Wyman and Bob is presented by Angel of the Winds Casino Resort. Coming up in the show today, going to get a little closer look at this Saints team. The Seahawks will be going up against this Monday night. Mike Triplett of ESPN NFL Nation, he covers the Saints, will join us at 3 o'clock. John Clayton at 4 o'clock. And then our player spotlight, we were able to do it, Dave. We got the kicker yesterday, so we're going punter today. Michael Dixon will join us at 5 o'clock today.
And hopefully Tyler Ott later on. Yeah. You know, right down the middle trifecta of the special teams. Hey, look, these guys have been good, man. I mean, I thought Dixon should have been a Pro Bowler last year. I think the punter from Detroit went.
Mm-hmm.
Longest shot ever that I would remember his name, Bob.
I'm going to trust you on that.
Yeah, but I remember looking at the average in the NFC anyways. I think he was a very close second. But, yeah, and then, I mean, guy's been part of some pretty wild plays. Remember the run in 2018 in Detroit?
Yeah.
Earned him a peculiar nickname. And then, you know, you saw him pull the ball down against Indy and make a play. And then, of course, the double punt. Which is, we'll have him go through that whole thing.
Yeah. Before we get started, we have to thank Mr. Lightwicky, who hooked us up with tickets last night to the Foo Fighters concert. First ever event in that arena. And it was a fun night. It was a fun night. The Foo Fighters are always fun. They just put on a great, energetic show. And I thought they were fantastic. The building is amazing. Building is amazing. I would say some of the challenges that were there as Key Arena with traffic are still there.
Yeah.
The problem is it's in an area where there are one lane roads essentially that are one way. You got too many one way streets. So if you miss a turn or, oh, we're going here, oh, that road's blocked off, you can't just, you know, take a right and go back around. You got to circle all the way back around. And Dave was a champ driving last night. It was a very stressful situation.
I was very quiet.
He was very quiet. It was a very stressful because you don't know where the parking is. It's not as obvious as it used to be.
Well, I thought it was going to take, because I looked at the address, and that actually is the address of Climate Pledge Arena. So we end up in front of it, and the parking was in the back.
Yeah.
And my wife was trying to soothe me, and I was like, you know, she's like rubbing my shoulder. It's okay. And I'm like, bit her hand. Luckily, we had your guy, Jeff, who's just an awesome dude. Now, does he play the guitar? What's his?
He's the singer and guitarist in
Walking Papers.
Walking Papers,
so when we have that intro that comes in that's Walking Papers.
That's actually Static Land, which was his other band that he did. But it's the same guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, he was an awesome navigator. Kept me calm.
Kept you calm. Was
man,
directing you.
Once we went to the right place, the thing that struck me was the people. I mean, the people out there in the parking garage, I mean, everybody was just so friendly and
super helpful.
And it was just, I mean, you can just tell, like, when you walk in there, it's like they're here to host you. And, you know, luckily there was. So, you know, typically situations like this, I imagine the worst possible scenario.
Yeah.
And then, you know, typically it doesn't happen. But I have to say, like, in the last 2 or 3 months, like, my imagination, it was actually less, like, it's more painful than it was, because we couldn't find that. Then when I get to the door, I try to do the electronic tickets off my phone. The one person in the group that's least capable of doing it, me.
Yeah.
But again, the people, and there was a lady there who's about my age, and she goes, oh, you don't have your Wi-Fi on, huh? And she was kind of teasing me, because she didn't really understand the stuff either. But so helpful. Saw Todd Lightwicky there. I mean, just everybody from, like, the bartenders to the parking garage were just such cool, nice, welcoming people, and just a beautiful. We got great seats, man.
Yeah, he was cool enough to put us up in a suite.
Yeah,
It was very. The funniest thing, though, we couldn't help but think of Lefko, because it just, you know, he'd done so much work with you on the phone and getting the tickets, and it's going to be fine. Everybody's looking at your phone. It's going to be fine. And as soon as we got there, the guy grabs Dave's phone, the attendant who's checking the tickets, and you just see him hitting the screen with his finger, just hitting it. Well, it's not working. It's not working. Dave looks at me, goes, See? Am I justified now?
Yeah, you might have willed it into existence, though.
Is that what I'm doing? Yeah. I secretly am making it fail.
Yeah, so you seemed almost satisfied for a moment that it wasn't working. Like, see?
See? I told you. I told you this was going to happen.
And so that's when they're looking at it. He keeps hitting it. He's going, nah, that's not, I don't know what's going on here. And she's looking at it. They're both looking at Dave's phone, and we're all kind of standing there. And that's when she's like, I don't think you have your Wi-Fi on. Yeah. You look at it. No, it's on. And then you connect here, and then it eventually worked. But right. I think you felt very justified in that moment.
Yeah, I was happy, actually, that it wasn't working. But that same thing happened when I went to the Mariner game, and we're
T-Mobile.
Also in a suite at T-Mobile. Yeah, I mean, it's me, okay?
It's technology, man. It's just, it is an easier, I know that this is looked at as more convenient with technology, but when you're dealing with Wi-Fi and signals, and you don't have a signal here, you do have a signal there,
yeah.
The old days of a hard copy. The old days of just a physical ticket.
Would have loved to have a parking pass hanging from my mirror.
Yeah.
And tickets in my pocket.
Yeah, because that was on your phone as well.
Yeah.
The parking pass. So you had to show your phone to everybody. You're like, are we in the right spot? And he's holding up his phone.
Yeah.
Is this the right parking area?
I'm
here's
holding,
my phone.
Holding it up like a badge. Guy's like 20 yards away. Hey, can you see this? Oh, man. Well, and the thing that was kind of cool for Shannon and I, I was like, hey, look at Bob and Jeff. Because watching you guys watch a concert was like watching me watch a football game.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm like, oh, yeah, no, you can't do that. Yeah, that's good. Okay. Yeah. You guys are both down there, you know, just kind of checking out. Everything, the Foo Fighters, the sound, all of that stuff.
We're talking a lot of sound. We're looking at the soundboard going, okay, where's the monitor? Okay, yeah. That's come from there. He's running the video. Okay, and then I'm looking at all the baffling and all the curtains and everything, and people are texting and asking about the acoustics. I didn't love it. I got to be honest. I didn't love the mix that was going on, and I don't know if it was where we were sitting or if it's the first night and they're dialing it in. There's a lot of bottom end. There's a lot of, you hear the kick drum, you hear the floor talk, you hear the blah, 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 blah. And then the snare and the hi-hat were, blah, 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 blah,
blah.
I was like, okay, I'm not, it wasn't cutting through.
Yeah.
So it wasn't, like, the old key to me was sort of oppressively loud and echoey. It was just sound bouncing everywhere, and it was super loud. It was like white noise almost to me. It didn't feel like, oh, my goodness, it's so loud. You know, it was uncomfortable. It was just, I didn't love the mix. It could be, you know, we didn't walk around the arena. I know it's always different. The best spot is always, by the way, for anybody that wants to be in the best spot for sound, right next to the soundboard.
Okay.
Any arena, any venue, if you can get near the soundboard in front of it, next to it.
Makes sense, because they're the ones that are adjusting
center,
the levels.
The
right?
Center of the house, they're right there.
Yeah.
So we were off to the left and up a little bit, so I don't know if that had anything to do with it. Or again, just first night, they're dialing things in. Death Cab for Cutie opened up. They were good, but Foo Fighters were fantastic overall. I mean, it was an awesome night. So cool. And thanks again to Todd Lewicki, who you saw there. I didn't even see him. He was – like the mayor out there.
Oh, yeah. He was very busy. Very busy. Saw our guy, Randy Adamack from the Mariners. And
Randy Adamack's there. We've known the guy forever. Apparently, he was in the suite. I didn't even see him until we were leaving. I'm like, what are you doing here? He's like, I've been in the suite all night.
Yeah.
You were? Oh, my goodness. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I must have walked past him five times then. I didn't even see him. But, yeah, there were some football people in there that recognized Dave and, you know, the guy who was – talking to, oh, this is Dave Wyman, one of the greatest Seahawks ever, one of the greatest middle linebackers ever. And I could see you kind of shrinking, going, okay.
All right.
Yeah. Slow down.
What a nice guy, Eric, who, you know, I made a new friend.
Yeah.
I was like, hey, we should keep in touch, man. I wrote my number down on a napkin. I'm like, hey, text me sometime or whatever. And then all of a sudden I was like, kind of like, this is kind of weird. He's probably thinking, what are you, like hitting on me or something? Or
We should hang out. We should be best friends.
Yeah. But, it was very cool. We had a great time. And, yeah, thanks again to Todd Lewicki and the Kraken. I got the tickets emailed to us from, you know, I got a phone call and it says NHL Seattle. And I'm like, this is really cool, man. But can't wait to see a game there. That's going to be so cool. And that place is just going to be so loud.
That place is
crazy.
A palace inside. Kraken fans are going to love that building. And Storm fans will love that building. It's just, it was, and by the way, kudos to Death Cab for Cutie giving a shout out to the Storm, talking about, you know, hey, this is going to be great to see my ladies playing basketball or whatever he said there. He's obviously a big Storm fan, and giving some props to them. But, yeah, I think sports fans will definitely definitely love the arena.
Yeah.
Definitely a cool place.
And like I said, the people, I mean, to me, that always is the welcoming part of it. They're very helpful, smiles, everything. But also, I think people are going to like the concessions. Concessions were great. And, you know, I don't know, was somebody talking about the, we were talking about the prices of things, Mike, and it's the same as every
they don't
arena,
seem
right?
Outrageous, not relatively speaking. Yeah. They're expensive, but every other sports venue is like that too. So
right.
I think it won't be sticker shock if you are used to going to sporting events.
Yeah, I heard Jake and Stacy and Curtis talking about the prices there. And I'm not a big drinker. I rarely drink at events or anything, so I don't know.
Whoa, don't turn and look at me here.
Well, you do. You were dialed in to all these prices. You were saying, I don't know why anybody's complaining. They're all the same.
Lefko's a huge boozer. Yeah,
I hear the price, and I'm just going, wait a minute. They're charging $16 for a beer or a hard seltzer? That sounds extreme to me, but you're telling me, that's typical of
Dave and I were talking about this. So, and this is a public service, so it's not like we're going to go into too much detail about alcoholism, but these are bigger cans.
Yeah,
so you're not paying $16 for a normal, you know, whatever ounce thing you might buy at a grocery store or something like that. It's a bigger can. Yeah. You're going to get a little more in terms of fluid ounces. But, yeah, it's a little expensive.
Is Lumen Field and T-Mobile comparable in their prices?
You know, I've never – well, obviously, every time I'm at Lumen Field, I'm not buying beer.
Yeah, I think I would say they are.
Are they the same?
Yeah, they're around a dollar or so of each other, I think.
Yeah. Well, I think bottom line – thanks to Todd Lewicki, it was an awesome night. And for Kraken fans and anybody that's going to, you know, maybe the people are going to Coldplay coming up and there's some other events going on outside of sports, I think you're going to dig that arena. It looks amazing. It looks amazing in there.
I'll say this, too. When we were trying to park, there was never a time where we had a moment like what you had earlier today, where you're just sitting at a, by the way, Bob, I was like, who gets more angry, Bob sitting in traffic or me with electronic tickets? So Bob sent a picture of it was a picture of the traffic in front of him, and it was just stopped dead.
Yeah.
So I took a picture from 520 going east, and it was just like wide open.
You were the only car on the road.
Yeah. And I sent it to Bob, and he sent me he made me number one.
I said, you're number one, dude.
Yeah.
You're number one, brother. Appreciate you.
No, but I was going to say that, like, even though it did, you know, take a while for us to find it, and you're talking about the one-way roads, we're always kind of moving.
Yeah.
You know, there was never a time where we just sat and we're just, you know, clogged up for 15 minutes.
Watching the stoplight go green, yellow, red, green, yellow, red, and you're not moving.
Like you had earlier today.
Yeah, that's the most frustrating. Okay, let's get to this Seahawks situation here, Dave. Is this, I hate the idea of, is it a must win? Yeah, you must win as many as you can. But this feels like you better find a way here. You better find a way. You can't go into the Jags game and then the break, you know, being that far below 500. I mean, just being below 500 for the Seahawks right now feels weird. Mm. Where it's just not it's
this
not
far as, in.
Yeah, it's not anything we're used to. It doesn't happen in the Pete Carroll era. And we're looking at a team that's struggling. They're in you look at the standings and they're the last team listed. I'm not used to seeing that. They're 2-4. You can't be 2-5. You just can't. I understand we went through the numbers yesterday. We're looking at the defense. I think it's going to be an incredibly tall order. But I don't know. Is it too much to say this particular game could make or break the season?
Yeah, because I feel like if they lose to the Saints. Now, I mean, look, the Saints, they have a good defense. You know, we talked about this yesterday. The other thing about them is that they've had a ton of injuries. And I know they're getting a couple guys back, but and we'll get into that. But, this is a good defense. I just feel like if you don't win this one in a primetime game at home on a Monday Night Football game, then the Jacksonville game's kind of up for grabs. I really believe that, because if you can't beat a team at, you know, and I know backup quarterback, but you still have, you know, your defense with the highest paid linebacker, the highest paid safety, you know, we're talking a little bit about Carlos Dunlap, and, you know, he needs to step up and make plays. And, you know, and if you can't do that at home against a Saint team that's kind of beat up, then, yeah, I think that, and I said this before, and I was particularly discouraged. It's kind of funny. I was particularly discouraged after the Ram game. I was just like, they can't stop anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so, you know, I kind of lowered my expectations, and then I was pleasantly surprised that they went into Pittsburgh and lost in overtime. I thought that was going to be a blowout type of game. So, I mean, if they can continue to repair in this way, if Geno Look, we talked about it yesterday. He can make throws. I believe he can win you a game. But now, all of a sudden, with the questions about Alex Collins and everything, and you want to get the run game going, you know, and then, again, it's all on the defense to me still. You got to see a week-after-week improvement in your defense, whether it's taking the ball away, everybody getting in their gaps. They did a good job as far as keeping things underneath them, and the corners made plays. So, yeah, there was some improvement, but that needs to continue. That needs to continue, you know, over the next few weeks until you can get Russ back.
Here's Pete Carroll talking about, you know, just where they're at, and say, there's a lot of games before we figure this out, is what he's saying here.
A year ago, I think we were 5-0 or something like that, and you're flying and going, and you're really feeling all the positive about it. This is a different challenge for us, and we will not be able to call this the story of this season for a couple months.
Well, a couple months, it could be too late, way too late, a couple months. I'm not sure what he's talking about.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting.
You're 2-4, man. If you lose this game, you go into a Jacksonville game. They just won a game. Who knows what that does to their confidence and how they're going to be playing. But if you go into that game 2-5 and you're feeling all the pressure of, man, you've got to get a win before the bye and you head to Green Bay, who knows how that impacts everybody. This game feels absolutely crucial. I know that it doesn't end the season if you lose it, but it kind of feels like that. There's a different level of importance to this game.
Yeah. Well, and look, you got an opportunity to get back to 500 before the bye week and before you go on a really tough stretch of two games at Green Bay and Arizona at home. And remember, the Arizona series, it doesn't matter if you're home or away. It seems like the away team typically wins, right? So, you know, except that didn't happen last year. But for the most part, Arizona has had success up here. So those, and also, you know, I see now all of the pundits that are making predictions and everything. Everybody's all over Arizona, you know, that they're the best team in the league, you know, going in and beating Cleveland. That definitely bolstered it. But I don't know, man. You know what's bad news? As far as I'm concerned, the best team in the league is the Rams.
Yeah.
I think the Los Angeles Rams are the best team. The way that they're making it look so easy. And we talked to Schlereth yesterday. He was talking about how Cooper Kupp is just like a quarterback out there, and him and Stafford and their connection, Robert Woods. I mean, you know, and that I thought Cam, you know, losing Cam Akers was going to really hurt them, but, you know, they're still able to run the ball effectively in different spots. And, you know, and you have another shot with them later on down in December. But he said a couple of months, you know, we may not know for a couple of months. I mean, that's like mid to late December.
It's too late at that point.
Yeah.
Feels like it's going to be too late after this Monday if you don't get the win. You guys can text in 421-3776. That's 421-ESPN. It's powered by Mac and Jack's Brewing Company. The 509, the Hawks should tank and go for a high first-round pick. Chances of them making a run this season are slim to none. Play for next season. Yeah, that's great. Problem is their first-round pick belongs to the Jets.
Yeah.
So the Jets are hoping they tank. The Jets are hoping they face plant and just lose every game moving forward. It doesn't help the Seahawks. So yeah, that's in theory, I get what you're saying. You're never going to tank any, even if they had their first pick. Yeah. But, yeah, that you're helping the Jets at that point.
Well, it's funny because I said that jokingly earlier. I was like, hey, guys, the good news is that we'll, you know, if we have a bad record, oh, wait, that's right.
Yeah, maybe the highest pick they've had since, you know, Pete and John first took over and drafted Earl Thomas.
Earl.
And who else did they get?
Russell Okung,
that's right. That's right.
I think he was like maybe 8 to 10 picks later. But I think, wasn't Earl like top 10 or 15?
Yeah, one was a top 10. The other one was like 14 or something like that. I can't remember. But, you know, these would be the highest draft picks they've had in forever.
Yeah.
Of course, it'd be the year they don't have them. The Jets are the beneficiaries there. So it feels do or die. It feels like, man, you've got, as much as it looks daunting, as much as we look at the numbers for the Saints and go, wow, this looks like a very tall order, especially for the run game. They got to figure out a way. What'd you find?
Yeah, I kind of thought it might be the offensive tackle over the safety, because that's you know, typically, you know, higher draft choice. Russell Okung was pick number 6, and Earl was 14. So anyway, but yeah, just to get that right. But you're right. Yeah, it's just it feels like it's a situation where you should win, as you mentioned yesterday. It is Jameis Winston, although last time he was here, had a pretty good performance.
335 yards, 2 touchdowns, no picks in a season that he threw 30 picks.
Yeah.
So One other note here, just to get a quick reaction from you on this. Doug Keid from Pro Football Focus tweeted out late yesterday that the Seahawks had worked out two running backs. So they brought in two running backs, B.J. Emmons and Dexter Williams. So I'm wondering what that, if there's concern about Carson's health, or not Carson's health, obviously there's concern there, Collins' health, because he got dinged. We didn't see him at the end of that game. A lot of people were like, where was Alex Collins? He was having a great game, and then crunch time, he wasn't there. He got dinged up. They made it sound minor, but you wonder, is this just, hey, let's get our ducks in a row in case Penny gets hurt again, because he's prone to being hurt. He's supposedly full go this weekend. How do you take the fact they brought in two running backs?
I guess it doesn't surprise me too much, because I was kind of surprised, and I think we all were, that they kept five running backs in the first place.
Right.
Remember, Travis Homer was one, and it's a good thing they did, right? Because now you got DJ Dallas. I mean, shoot, you go through Carson, then you get to Penny, and I know we're getting Penny back, but does that instill a ton of confidence in anyone? Not really. I mean, the guy that to me has proven it, I think, pretty well is Collins. Mm-hmm. I mean, you look at the San Francisco game, Ram game too, you know, but mostly in this game, he really ran the heck out of the ball. He looks really good, and now he's banged up. So it's not surprising to me. Once they kept five running backs in the first place, it's like that's probably the number they want to have on this roster. And, I'm looking at these two guys. Dexter Williams, I think, has seven carries in the league, and B.J. Emmons doesn't have any. So, I mean, these are if these guys are going to be out on the field, I mean, probably more for just backup and special teams. But if you see either of these guys out on the field, it'll be, for Emmons, it'll be his first carry in the NFL.
All right, let's take two.
Some quarterback news. About an hour ago, the Seahawks claimed Jacob Eason off waivers. No corresponding move is needed. They had an open spot since waiving Trey Flowers from the 53-man roster. And another QB start streak will come to an end tomorrow. Case Keenum gets a start for the Browns against Denver. So Baker Mayfield's streak of 51 straight starts to begin his career will now be over.
Wow. Well, as far as Jacob Eason, and people are texting in about that, I mean, that's okay. I mean, he's got a ton of potential. Problem is, it's never been realized. He didn't light it up at UW. He certainly didn't light it up with Indianapolis. So he's available. He's got, the measurables, if you will. He's got the arm strength. He's got the height, the size, and everything. There's some questions about, the fire in him. Is he does he live and die for this game the way some feel like you need to? I don't know. We'll see. I root for him. If they brought him in, I pull for anybody they bring in. Yeah. Anybody that's wearing a Seahawks jersey, I'm pulling for.
Well, and then we don't want to see him on the field, that's for sure. No offense to Jacob Eason. But, and then you mentioned Case Keenum. I mean, Case Keenum, he was 11-3 in 2017 with Minnesota. Mm-hmm. 67%, 22 touchdowns, 7 interceptions.
He's well-traveled.
Yeah, he's been a lot of different places, but he's a pretty good quarter. And at one point I was like, he's kind of like a Bridgewater to me, that, he can be a starter somewhere. And you see Teddy Bridgewater, pretty successful, and just kind of the whole backup quarterback thing is interesting, and where Geno's going to rank. I saw, on one article, I think it was CBSSports.com, they had him ranked 26th, but I don't know, man. I mean, I've been very pleasantly surprised with Geno.
I'm with you.
Well, the ALCS is now all square. The Astros evened it up 2-2 in the series after a 7-run ninth inning to break a 2-2 tie yesterday. And it came off of Red Sox starter Nathan Eovaldi, who was pitching in relief. Now, Game 5 has just gotten underway. Our guy John Morosi's there, so we'll get him to recap it all and some Kraken tomorrow at 5.
Well, and there was a bad call that took place on a...
I showed Dave that, yeah.
It was a strike.
On a 1-2 pitch, yep, with two outs.
Yeah, should have been a third strike, end of the situation. It was very clear. And it's just more ammunition for people that say there needs to be an automated ump back there. You got to have somebody else calling balls. It's too inconsistent in these. And now these games mean too much. Now, is that why they lost? Well, who knows how things unfold after that. But the floodgates opened after that.
Yeah.
If the right call's made, does that change the outcome? Perhaps. Problem is, you'll never know because the wrong call was made.
Well, yeah, and it was a 1-2 pitch. So, we kind of talked about that earlier, that, the umps want to let that play out. If you look at it from the box, it definitely looks like it's outside.
Like the over it?
No.
The screen.
The little, EQC tracer or whatever. But if you look at it from the top, it's on the plate.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. But, you look at – it's funny, we were talking about it yesterday – how Houston, their bats had kind of gone cold, but They were 5 for 9 with runners in scoring position. 5 for 9. And Boston, 0 for 9. So they just entirely switched. And all of a sudden, the Astros, much to our chagrin, their bats are heating up.
By the way, somebody texted in, Bob, I'm wearing a Seahawks jersey. Are you pulling for me?
You bet, camper.
I said, absolutely. Absolutely, I am. Anybody wearing a Hawks jersey, I'm pulling for you. All right, so there you go. Take Two is brought to you by Swedish Cyberknife. Treat prostate cancer with Swedish Cyberknife. Swedish.org/CyberknifeProstate. The Kraken suffered a loss, but picked up a long-term win. We'll tell you what we're talking about next with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live through the Alaska Airlines studio on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
This hour, Wyman and Bob is brought to you by Muckleshoot Casino. Coming up at the top of the hour, you want to stick around. We always have a great show for you each and every day. I say that, but it's always true. It is. Of course, it's a good show. Mike Triplett will be with us talking Saints. We'll get a closer look at the Saints team because we're obviously looking at them from a distance and looking at numbers. We're not watching Saints games every week. So, you know, the numbers tell a story. We'll see if they're telling the accurate story with Mike Triplett at 3 o'clock, Professor John Clayton at 4, and then our player spotlight featuring Michael Dixon at 5 o'clock. We're still getting advice from people on how to handle the tickets.
Never mind.
360. Okay. Hey, Dave. Take a screenshot of the digital ticket ahead of the event.
They won't let you do that. Says right there on it, you can't.
Yeah, I explained that to someone, another texter. These are very complicated tickets.
Yeah.
Next level.
Yeah.
They don't want any duplicates.
Well, remember on the barcode, Mike, it had this little thing that kept scanning back and forth, like it was constantly in motion. Was that?
No fraud allowed.
Is that to prevent the screenshot thing?
Yeah, because then you could just forward that to somebody else. Sure. And
you can't even download it to your Apple Wallet, which that I don't really like. That was confusing. But that is so you can't do a screenshot. So no screenshots allowed. We're going to redeem you on this one, Dave.
The Apple Wallet was key for the parking that I had because I was showing it to everybody. It was green. And I'm like, hey, look over here.
I love that he's holding up the phone. Is this the right garage? Can you see my phone from across the way there?
And Shannon was like, here, you want me to do that? I'm like, no, it's mine.
So good. All right. So we appreciate the advice. Trust me, we took all avenues with the ticket thing to try to figure out the easiest way to do it. And screenshot is not an option, apparently.
Somehow I feel like if just anybody else would have had it on their phone, they would have not have had to go through what I went through. It's just me.
Somebody's saying you should be on the next Progressive commercial.
Yeah.
With Dr. Rick.
Well, what I said earlier is that I told you guys, I was like, you know, if I would have been able to, you know, Google map it and print that out and take it with me in the car. Yeah, because that's a Dr. Rick thing. Yeah. If any of you printed out directions to get here, you're in the right place.
Yeah.
If I'd have had that, you know, like I said, a parking pass hanging from my rearview mirror.
All would have been right with the world.
Really quick, though, Bob, before we get to this, you were talking about the tickets and how, you know, in our day, you know, and yours is a different day than my day. I'm a little older, but you like to take the concert tickets and put them on your bulletin board, right?
Yeah, I had. Oh, I didn't hang up. I just had them in like a scrapbook. I had a bunch of
scrapbook.
I mean, a ton of ticket stubs.
Yeah,
and just it's cool to look at it and go, man, that was 5 years ago, or that was 15 years ago, or whatever. And I saw, you know, I saw Metallica in the Moore Theater.
No kidding.
They play stadiums now. I saw them on the Ride the Lightning tour in the Moore Theater.
Wow.
With a band called Armored Saint that opened up for him. Remember, clear as day.
Armored Saint.
Yeah, and I remember somebody pulled a fire extinguisher from somewhere in the Moore Theater and was spraying it around, and they stopped the show, and James Hetfield going, hey, we don't want to ride the lightning for real, if you know what I mean. You know, like, so yeah, I remember that clear as day. But it was
and you
always,
have the ticket stuff.
Yeah, somewhere at my parents' house in a box up in the attic somewhere. Yeah. But yeah, I had a whole, probably hundreds of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, I missed that. Just having that little memento, just to remember the night. But anyway, so the Kraken lose to the Devils, and they finish the road trip 1-3-1, overtime loss, and then 3 points in the standings. But Yanni Gord made his debut. It was on the top line as the center, I'm being told. Had 22.5 minutes of ice time, second most of any forward, won 57% of the team-high 23 faceoffs. Boy, I didn't even realize these were all statistical categories they keep? Is this
no? We could go deep into the weeds here.
Is this like a sabermetrics version, or are these the standard?
No, these are pretty standard.
Okay. Is there a sabermetrics?
Oh, yeah. I don't even know those.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, you and I both found, well, I don't know if you probably already knew it, Mike, but there's a, you know, you have Pro Football Reference.
Yeah.
There's Pro Hockey Reference. And, you know, it's kind of the same format. And if you're used to looking at that for football, it's pretty helpful for as far as, you know, they've got all the stats. And, you know, we were just going through some of the Yadi Gord played all 82 games in 2017-18. So, you know, and Mike, you said there was 56 last year. It says he played 56 last year. So, I mean, this guy's pretty durable.
I love this. We were watching yesterday. They're a feisty bunch. There were a lot of dust-ups going on. I saw Tanev get into a fight. There was a lot of almost fights. I mean, it seems like as the games have gone on, they've gotten decidedly more testy. Mm. Like, they're not taking any guff. They're throwing the mitts down.
That's right.
Take any guff off those swine.
I love it.
Did they seem more aggressive?
I think it was the Northeast fans.
You were blaming it on geography.
Well, and the fans, because then as I said that, do you remember we saw the Devils fans
giving the double birds,
the Kraken players,
the double birds,
probably talking about their mothers too.
Peyton, you wouldn't believe what they said about mom.
I think you know they got behind early in both those games, and then you know probably a tired team, a little frustrated, trying to make an impact. So it was more than expected. But hey, if that's
is it more than usual? Is it more because the first game there was not even a shoving match. There wasn't even anything that looked heated in the first game. And then as games have gone on, I don't know if it's just a comfort that they're finding together and, hey, we're confident in what we're doing and we're not going to take any crap off these guys, or, you know, first game, maybe it's more just about, hey, I can't believe it, we're a team. You know, first game ever in the history of this organization. So maybe the fighting didn't feel as natural then.
Yeah, and I think the problem is, though, it's, you know, it's every sport. If you are the star or the aggressor or the team doing well, you're not going to lower yourself to the level of an instigator. Like in basketball, Patrick Beverley, he always tries to get in the head of Kevin Durant. Mm-hmm. So if the Kraken are cruising along in the lead, they're not going to try to instigate fights. So this is the mark of someone when you're losing, you try to upend and maybe get a penalty power play and try to get a penalty on the other team. So I don't expect that you'd see this concerted effort of fights, but it was strange that in back-to-back games, they really got after it.
Yeah. Yanni Gord, this is just for Bob, not you. I know you know Mike. What do you height and weight, Yanni Gord, what do you think?
I'm going to say he's probably smaller than we think. I'll say 5'11", 190.
5'9".
5'9"?
5'9", 173.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, and you see some of the defensemen that are like 6'4", 6'5", some of the big guys back there. But, yeah, but this guy, you know, played. I mean, he played in he's got quite a streak as far as longevity goes. So, I know he was just coming off of what kind of injury do we know?
What was it? It was a shoulder thing?
Shoulder thing or something like that. But, yeah, like I said, he played 56 games last year, 70 the year before that, 80, and then 82 the year before that. So, guy's a good player. Played with the Lightning pretty his whole career.
Texter saying, we did check their star Hughes into the boards. That was great. You want to go after their star?
Yeah, and then that's what you have an enforcer to then protect. If they go after your star, your enforcer comes over and then starts a fight with someone else.
I don't recall seeing many highlights of Wayne Gretzky getting in fights or Mario Lemieux or Sidney Crosby fighting.
It's somebody protecting him at all times, right?
So somebody would come up and shove one of those guys, and then the enforcer would come and go, no, I got this.
Well, I mean, isn't it just known that like if somebody's going to try to light up Wayne Gretzky, you're gonna pay for it? Right, it's kind of a respect thing. I still think you should be hired on as a consultant over there.
Problem is, I couldn't teach on skates.
Yeah. We're gonna get you skating first.
They'd have to teach me to skate first, then we'll work on their fighting. By the way, somebody with a very good catch here, 805 Bob with the Fear and Loathing reference. That is a good catch by this person. Don't take any guff off those swine. That's a line from
Was it?
Yeah,
okay.
Fear and Loathing, Johnny Depp, Benicio del Toro, one of the great movies of all time.
I remember my mom and dad using the word guff, but not off of swine.
Yeah, they said karate and literature. What a renaissance man. I like it, 805. All right, coming up, Russell Wilson's career looks a lot like Drew Brees, but that could be a bad thing. We'll explain what we're talking about next with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
better.
You're listening to Wyman and Bob, brought to you by Angel of the Winds Casino Resort on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
This hour of Wyman and Bob is brought to you by Muckleshoot Casino. You guys can text in, as we say, whenever you'd like, 421-3776-421-ESPN. As we told you, Michael Dixon will be in our player spotlight. Now, we recorded that interview just for full transparency here because we have people saying, hey, question for Michael Dixon. Does he think he was behind the line of scrimmage on that second kick, or was that even something to cross his mind in that moment? Well, funny you should ask, because we talked to him about that very thing, so stay tuned. He answers.
What he says is...
Don't do it, Dave. Don't do it. I know you want to. Dave desperately wants to tell everybody what Dixon said. But you'll hear the answer to that at 5 o'clock.
It's very, very interesting interview. I liked hearing from him.
Yeah, he's a good personality. It's just, from our perspective, it's hard when you're talking to a kicker or a punter. There aren't a ton of questions. I mean, you find ways, you know, but he's got a good personality that helps the conversation. It's not like talking to a quarterback or a running back or receiver where you can talk about these different moments and that play. There's only one play for these guys.
Yeah.
And often the punter, maybe he's making three appearances a game or four. You never know.
I thought the other interesting thing is he was talking about the difference between the Australian rules.
Yeah, we got into that.
Yeah, tune in for that because, it's interesting. And I think he's an interesting guy just because he comes from Australia and, you know, yeah. So, 5 o'clock.
Yeah, 5 o'clock.
Never thought I'd say this. Tune in. It's a really good interview with a kicker.
So the question or the statement was Russell Wilson's career looking like Drew Brees. Now, Drew Brees, he's a guy that Russell holds in very, very high regard. He said it. They're friends. You know, he's somebody he absolutely emulated on a lot of levels. But they're sort of on the same trajectory in terms of piling up stats and accolades. And, you know, Russell's won – you know, X amount of times in his first 10 years, more than any quarterback in history. And he's in all these other categories with, you know, only Peyton Manning and Tom Brady have done this. And Russell Wilson's, you know what I mean, all these different stats we hear. But the one thing they've got in common, which is good and bad, just one Super Bowl win. Mm-hmm. Drew Brees had one Super Bowl appearance, one win, and that was it. An illustrious career has these records he holds, all these crazy numbers he put up, but just that one Super Bowl win. And right now, Russell, he's been to two, but one win. And it doesn't feel like he's getting closer right now.
No.
And that's one area you wouldn't want them to have a comparable career.
Yeah. But, I mean, is that terrible? I mean,
Dan Marino never won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, exactly. And he's a really good player. But, yeah, it's interesting to see. Well, the other thing it makes you think is, first of all, what stands out with Russ and why with all of the records and everything for him, why he's in there is because he started from the beginning.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you look at the rookie year of Drew Brees, he was 15 for 27 with one touchdown. He played
for the whole year,
played in one game.
Yeah. That became a quarter for him.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and then the next year he played in all 16 and, you know, he was through for 3,200 yards, 60% completion. The next year, 57. When he really started to shine is when he went and hooked up with Sean Payton in New Orleans. That was Sean Payton.
And that's when they, by the way, they thought his career could be over.
Remember,
he dislocated his shoulder badly, and then he's coming over. People are like, can this guy even throw?
Yeah. But he did have one Pro Bowl year with San Diego at the time, and don't correct me because they were the San Diego Chargers. He was 11-4 that year, and But once he got, I mean, the first year in New Orleans, All Pro, Pro Bowl, you know, he's 10-6, and you know, and that's when he starts to put up this ridiculous. And I think I screwed this up the other day because I was like, I think it's only been done maybe once by Drew Brees, but it was talking about the completion percentage.
Mm-hmm.
He's done it a couple of times, been over 70%. So, yeah, that's what I think Russ has always strived to be. The other thing, too, I think the similarity is, did Drew Brees ever win an MVP, NFL MVP?
That's
Mike,
a good question.
I think you said he
did.
Hadn't.
I mean, I had to look it up. He won the Super Bowl MVP. I was stunned, so I double-checked and triple-checked. Never won a regular season MVP.
That is crazy considering numbers he's put up. I mean, he's got... Yeah. A career completion percentage of just under 68% for career.
Yeah.
80,358 yards, 571 touchdowns, 243 picks.
Yeah.
I mean, his numbers are ridiculous.
Yeah, they are. And you know what the thing is, though? You know, his 10th year in the league, which is where Russ is, that was 2010. He was just getting started, man. Just getting started. You know, so that's where you look at Russ and the comparison and the way you think about him. I mean, he ends up playing 20 years. So the halfway point. Can you imagine for Russ? I mean, if this is the halfway point for him, and then, you know, in the second half, like you said, Bob, he put up so many ridiculous numbers. I mean, we're talking 5,000 passing yards four times. Four freaking times.
He Isn't threw it weird
for
looking
over
at,
5,000.
Hey, we did this before where we looked at just completion percentages, these guys versus like Bradshaw and Elway and Montana and all that. You look at those completion percentages and go, these days those guys would be benched.
Well, they'd be backups for sure.
Yeah, with that, I mean, they're in the 50s.
Yeah, maybe high 50s.
Yeah, maybe, or I think Montana was like 61% or 62%, and that was, and he probably was brilliant for the time.
Exactly. Yeah, I think the one that got me was Elway. I think it's 59% for him. But yeah, I mean, you look at the career 67.7. It's basically rounded up to 68%. It's unbelievable for an entire career. But I think it also just makes you think, what, you know, where is Russ right now in his career? And is it going to be entirely here in Seattle? And, you know, and I'm not trying to push the panic button or anything, but, you know, there was some grumbling and everything in the offseason. Then Russ, you know, ends up hurting his finger. You know, we'll see how he comes back from that. And, you know, we'll see if they, going forward, Pete signed through, what, 2025?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
I
just
always get him and John mixed up.
Who's, yeah, John's 2027 because it's like, technically it's 26, but because of the draft or something, and Pete is 2025.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, it's going to be – I don't want it to happen by any stretch of the imagination, but if this turns into a disaster season like we've seen with every other team in this division, we've talked about, you know, hey, the Cardinals, the Rams, the 49ers have all had those four-win seasons, five wins, you know, just dreadful years. Seahawks haven't had that with Pete. And if they do, I don't know if this is it, but if they do have it, how's that received? What's the fallout? How does that work? Because we've never experienced that under Pete. So that's going to be a weird thing. Hopefully we don't have to worry about that for a while. But meanwhile, they've got the Saints to worry about in the defense. You look at the numbers, they look good. They're getting healthy. We'll talk about this team with a man who covers them for ESPN. Mike Triplett will join us next here with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.